I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Lolly Daskal. Lolly is one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches in the world. Her extensive cross-cultural expertise spans 14 countries, 6 languages, and hundreds of companies. As founder and CEO of Lead From Within, her proprietary leadership program is engineered to be a catalyst for leaders who want to enhance performance and make a meaningful difference in their companies, their lives, and the world. Based on a mix of modern philosophy, science, and nearly 30 years of coaching top executives, Lolly's perspective on leadership continues to break new ground and produce exceptional results. Of her many awards and accolades, Lolly was designated a top 50 leadership and management expert by Inc. magazine. Huffington Post honored her with the title of the most inspiring woman in the world. Her writing has appeared in HBR, Inc., Fast Company, Huffington Post, Psychology Today, and others. Lolly's proprietary insights are the subject of her new book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. Lolly, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
It's an honor to be here.
So, Lolly, I know you and I talked a little bit before we started recording about what it means to be in a plateau. And the way I generally describe it, particularly for people who are experienced leaders, you know, success is not a linear progression. And from time to time, we encounter unexpected surprises or roadblocks. And especially if you've been at it for a while and you look ahead at what you dream to achieve before your story ends and you see where you are now, if the gap between the two, rather than getting smaller, is getting bigger, and you see other people around you having breakthrough successes, it can cause a lot of anxiety and really it's something that can cause leaders to freak out. And I wondered if you can talk a little bit about what you see as contributing to that, what I just described of leaders getting stuck or hitting a plateau that's unexpected and what they can do about it.
Absolutely. So in my new book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness, the book opens up a story about Richard. Richard was a CEO, a very well-known CEO, and he was in his business for over 25 years. And he was known in the industry as one of the top leaders. He was always mentioned in the newspaper. You couldn't pick up a newspaper or listen to the news without listening to his name. But after a while, Richard decided that he was going to leave his business, and he sold his business, and he made billions and billions of dollars. And he went into retirement. But you know what? Once he was in retirement, he was bored. And he's like, oh, I want to get back into the field. I want to do something about business again. So he put out some feelers about maybe joining a board or two. Maybe I can come on as an advisor. And as soon as people heard that Richard, not his real name, wanted to be part of another organization, people were like, we want you. We want you to be on our board. And then Richard took a job as being on one of the boards as an advisor to a company. And it just so happens that I was coaching the CEO at the time. And he said to me, Lolly, you need to come in. We have a new, you know, we have a board and there's some new board members, but it's falling apart. It's not productive and it's chaos. And I need your help. I need you to tell me what is our problem. And so I showed up at the board meeting and everybody was sitting around the table and everybody was talking. And it literally took me 5 minutes to realize what the problem was. The problem was Richard. Richard was this kind of leader who was used to being a certain type of leader, meaning he told you what to do, he told you when to do it, and he was expecting everybody to jump at his command. So what got Richard to be at his plateau of his leadership, what got him to be successful, was really not working for him right now because he was sitting amongst other people, other board members that were equal. to his kind of leadership, but he wasn't looking at them that way. He wasn't showing them that respect. He was thinking, I'm the man, I'm the leader, I came here, they should be respectful to me. And if I tell them what to do, they need to do it. And I saw how arrogant he was. And so when we had a break, I tried to go over to Richard and get his attention and talk to him. And everything that I was asking him or was interested in what, you know, who he is or what he did or anything that I was asking him, he was like, I know, that's how it is. This is who I am. And he was very abrupt and he was arrogant. And this is something very important to realize, that sometimes what got us here won't get us there. And Richard wasn't realizing that. In 3 months, Richard was gone. And the board is a much better board right now. And they're very careful of who they invite in. But we have to be mindful, what's got us here won't usually take us to the next level of where we want to be.
Right. It also sounds like a combination of new circumstances and the leader's own behavior contributes to things not working too well.
Well, I believe that leadership is really about who you are. So situations and leadership change all the time, and leaders need to be agile with situations, but they need to be very mindful of who they're being in those situations. And that can teach you how to pivot and how to be agile within situations. So Richard, who knew how to be in an organization, I'm sure he wasn't a great leader when he had his business because he was more about power and influence. That was his leadership style. And so this was a situation where people were coming together again. And he thought, this is where I'm going to be power. This is where I'm going to be the authority. This is where I'm going to influence and they have to listen. So it might have been a different situation, but a little bit of the same flavor.
Yeah. And I know in your book, you write about how there are different, there's a gap and also different leadership styles that really impact how we can be successful in different situations.
Right. So I found in the 3 decades that I have been doing my kind of coaching and being a business consultant, I have found that there are 7 archetypes within us. And these archetypes can lead us to greatness. They can lead us to who we want to be in the world. But within those 7 archetypes, I also found that there's a gap. And if we're not mindful, if we're not aware of them, if we don't know how to leverage them, they can end up costing us in our greatness. So we have to be very mindful about who we are being while we are leading.
So if we're feeling like something's not working, we're feeling stuck, what's the first step to understanding what our leadership style is and where the gap might be?
So the first thing to do is to learn the system, and it's a rethink system. Rethink stands for the 7 archetypes, which are the rebel, the explorer, the truth teller, the hero, the inventor, the navigator, and the knight. These 7 archetypes have certain virtues that are in within them. And if we're not mindful, if we're not aware of them, they have within them this gap, this polarity of character that gets us stuck, that gets us into trouble, that makes us feel stressed, that makes us feel like, wow, I'm not where I want to be. So for instance, let's take the first one, the rebel. The rebel is someone who wants to do something magnificent in the world, right? They want to start a business. They're passionate about a cause. They want to make a difference. They, you know, it's just a rebel is someone who has a vision about something. But in order to make that happen, David, they need to have confidence. You need to have confidence in order to do something significant, in order to make an impact. But what I have found that for 99.1% of high-achieving individuals, those who want to make an impact, those who want to make a difference, they suffer from the gap of feeling like an imposter who has self-doubt. As we know, the imposter says, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not deserving enough. And when we have this self-doubt, we can't show up in our greatness. And so our gaps get us stuck.
So what's the best way to overcome the gaps?
So for each archetype in my book, I go through, in order for you to understand which archetype we are and what gap it ends up causing within us, but I teach you how to leverage it. So if you have the imposter syndrome, we have to first understand where the imposter syndrome, what's the foundation of it? Like, where does it come from? It comes from a few things. It comes from, number one, having to be perfect. You know, we think that as people, we need to be perfect. We need to do everything with perfection. But the truth is, David, there's no such thing as perfection and there's no such thing as perfect. And so sometimes we don't get the things done. We start to self-doubt ourselves. So we have to realize that instead of going for perfect, we should strive for excellence. We should offer the best of what we have to offer, and that is good enough. The second thing that you can do is, what's another driver for the imposter? The driver for the imposter is the comparison. Every time we're looking out at someone and saying, wow, they're wiser and smarter and wealthier and healthier and just they have things we want. When we're so busy looking outside, we don't have a chance to look on inside or work on our inside that it keeps us having self-doubt. So these are just some of the ways that I talk you through in the book of how to leverage some of the imposter syndrome within you when you have self-doubt. And it goes through 6 or 7 other ideas that can really help you combat and leverage the imposter. So you can always ask yourself, do I want to stand in my greatness of being a rebel with confidence, or do I want to lead from my gaps of the imposter who has self-doubt?
And Lolly, in your work, how have you found that it is most helpful for leaders to understand where their gaps are and what they need to do to unleash their greatness? Is there a difference between getting help from reading a book like your book? Is there a difference between doing that and having somebody coaching them or being in a group where they're getting support from peers? What have you found in terms of methodology for understanding yourself as a leader and understanding what you need to overcome in order to unleash your greatness?
So I believe every single person learns in different ways. Some people do better one-on-one. Some people do great from reading a book, and others do well in a group. For me, I think that reading a book and being inspired by it and getting the groundwork, but then getting the person that wrote the book to coach you through that system can be a life changer. Because I have been teaching the Rethink system for over 3 decades, and it has changed lives. It has changed leadership, and it has changed business. And that's through one-on-one coaching and learning this Rethink system in workshops. And it's very, very powerful.
Yeah. Do you find that there's anything that might be a little counterintuitive about doing this in one-on-one versus doing it in a group?
So maybe, interestingly enough, maybe one-on-one we'd be vulnerable more than we'd be in a group, because if you go through the gaps of these archetypes, I find that most leaders usually whisper to me very quietly, I suffer from the imposter syndrome, like they're the only ones. And so I think it'd be a little bit more difficult to be in a group of a leader to say, I suffer from the imposter syndrome. So I think it's very good for the leader to start with this system and to become vulnerable enough to know that they have gaps, but then lead by example and say, you know what? I suffer from the imposter syndrome and I do have self-doubt. And I'm sure all of you, my leadership team, also have self-doubt. I didn't realize it, how much it was affecting my leadership. How does it affect yours? And I think when a leader is vulnerable, it strengthens the team and the organization.
And have you found that going through these kinds of exercises or workshops with an entire team do something for the non-leaders in the room?
Well, I truly believe, because my company is called Lead From Within, that every single person is a leader. Because for me, leadership means that you're impacting someone or influencing someone or advising someone. And who doesn't impact or influence or advise someone? So for me, I think it impacts everyone. What's great about the system is that you could have a shortcut of language. So let's say you're in a meeting and you need somebody to be brave. And so you go, could somebody show up as the hero right now? Or we need a truth teller. Or maybe you can say, where's the inventor when we need one? Or you might even say, we need a navigator. So it kind of like, I've seen this in team meetings where it's so brilliant that people say who they need, which archetype they need to show up in that meeting to get it done.
So what's an example or a story where you've seen it work and that the outcome has been really great?
So I was running a workshop about creating a vision, values, mission for an organization. And the leader was one of these leaders who was my way or the highway kind of leader. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you how to do it. And things weren't working because everybody was yesing him. Yes, 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 yes. And so I took a break and I'm like, I'm not doing it this way. We're not creating anything useful. We're wasting our time. And I'll never forget, I was sitting at lunch and I was looking at the group and I'm like, who here is going to be the truth teller after we come back? Who's going to be the hero and courageous enough to say, you know, to your boss, this isn't working for us. This is not engaging us. This isn't about us. This is about you. But we can't work under the rules and disciplines of and processes and practices that you've created. It's impossible for us to succeed. And they're like, no, we can't. We can't. I said, I'll back you up, but we need the truth tellers and we need the heroes. And so when we came back after lunch, we were sitting around the room and I made an announcement for the next hour. This is a sacred space. Whatever is being said, we can't shoot the messenger. We just need to really be honest and forthcoming. And I said to their boss, I said, and you know what? And I need you to listen. And so I went around the room and I said, I'm looking for the heroes and the truth tellers and for the inventors here. Can someone please speak up? And slowly people started to talk about what wasn't working. And you could see that their boss was like, I never knew. I thought it was okay. Why didn't you speak up beforehand? But it really was a great, great workshop after that, because then we got to work.
Right. And I think that kind of scenario is hard to execute without somebody from the outside who is coaxing the conversation along and creating the safety for somebody to open up and be the truth teller.
It's very easy for an outside consultant to say, we're going to do something provocative now. We're going to do something brave now, and then have people show up rather than people sitting around the room and expecting people to be brave. Sometimes they're fearful. In my book, I call them bystanders. They see something, they hear something, and they do nothing about it. Why? Because they're fearful. They don't want to pay the consequences for what it takes to be the hero who's courageous. But if an outsider says, okay, we need heroes, this isn't working, it has a whole different atmosphere and the consequences are much less.
Yeah. Lolly, how much do you think fear drives decision-making in organizations?
In different organizations, it's different, but fear is really big. I think people are fearful. And the truth is, these days, leaders have so much on their plate. I mean, sometimes it's mind-boggling of what they have to do. You know, they have to make sure their processes and their practices and everything are working. They're reaching their goals and their targets and they're selling and they have to do everything on the outside. But then they have to work on the inside too. And how do you then integrate all of it? It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to run an organization or to run even a business. There's a lot to do.
Right. And nowadays, communication takes place with so many different methods that it makes it really challenging to get everybody on the same page.
Absolutely. And I think still face-to-face is the best way to talk to your people.
Oh, without a doubt. And people seem to do it less and less.
Yes.
Lolly, who do you know who's really remarkable at smashing plateaus?
So I want to talk about two people in particular. I want to talk about my son. My son in college had to write a research paper in psychology, and he couldn't find what he needed to find for his paper, and he was very frustrated. So what did my then 22-year-old son do? He created a business. He created a business called Research Connection, where he went to every professor from every college in the United States and asked them to submit their papers. So if other students needed research, they could find the papers that they needed for their midterms and for their research papers. And I think here's a person that saw a problem, but he smashed the plateau, created a business, and he's very successful. He started 3 or 4 businesses since then, and he's all of 26 years old. And I think it takes great courage to see a problem and then do something about it. But then I want to talk about another person, and that's my daughter. Most people out there in the world think that in order to make an impact, they have to start businesses like my son, and they have to find voids that are out there that need to be filled. But then I have a daughter who is the kindest person in the world and the most, I call her my angel. What she does is that she's a preschool teacher. And I'll tell you why I think she's smashing the plateau. She is so invested in every single child to be happy when they are in her class that she's all about, you know, creating happiness for them and being connected with them and showing them love is that when they leave her program, they feel love. They feel that they could do anything and they can go on to the next class and be who they want to be. I've watched her in motion and I was thinking, wow, I wish I had a teacher when I was that way. So you don't have to start businesses to smash plateaus. Maybe you smash the plateau with being loving and caring and wonderful, or you can smash it by seeing a problem and creating something. Either way, I think they both work.
Yeah, well, first of all, it sounds like you have remarkable children. And second of all, it's really about understanding what needs doing in your world, whether it is in a business setting or not, but what needs doing, being true to yourself, and delivering greatness, which is very much in keeping with the theme of your new book.
Absolutely. Very well said. Thank you, David.
So, Lolly, what's coming up for you in the near future?
The only thing that's coming up for me right now is this book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. I've been wanting to write a book for 30 years, so I've finally given birth. This book will really make a difference in people's lives, and that to me is very, very important. And so I'm concentrated and focused on, besides doing my business about coaching and doing business consulting, but this book, I would like to get it into as many people's hands to read it and to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, I think the way you have approached leadership in your book really addresses the challenge that leaders face today. And you address it in a way that is easily understandable, practical, and people can understand who they are and what they need to change in themselves so that they can do a much better job as leaders and create greater impact on the world around them. So I think it's a great book, and I really recommend it to our listeners.
Thank you. You know, people think that leadership is complex, and I try to simplify it in a system that would be simple enough to be able to apply it to your everyday.
Yeah, and I think it works for leaders no matter what it is people are leading.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a great job. How can listeners learn more about you and get access to your book?
So they can find me at lollydaskal.com. I think I'm the only Lolly out there that has been doing leadership for 3 decades. And the book is at theleadershipgapbook.com. And buy the book for yourself and those you love, because it will make an impact in their lives.
That's great. Well, my guest today has been Lolly Daskal, CEO and founder of Lead From Within. Thank you so much, Lolly, for taking the time to be with us today on Smashing the Plateau.
What an honor, and what a privilege, and a great pleasure. Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.